Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church. Just a few church announcements. Next week, the 9th of August, there will be church in the park, or if it rains, it will be in the office. And of course, it will be available online as well. On the 16th and the 23rd of August, there will only be an online service. No church in the park or in the office. On the 30th of August, there will be a church service at the church, and it will be broadcast online as well, as this will be part of our planted weekend as well. So, due to the venue restrictions, we had to change the format that we always had in the past for planted, as this will now be an online weekend. The program will be communicated to you next week. So we ask if you will please make this a priority, because we really want to see what God has in store for us as a church for the next season, and also want to see how He's going to knit our hearts together. You must have a great week and enjoy the sunshine.
welcome. It's wonderful to have you. I hope you've had a wonderful week. I hope this word this morning will bless you. I hope it'll encourage you. I just want to say, wherever you're at, may the Lord be your strength today. May the Lord be the sustenance that you need. May He be the one who brings out the good in you. And may we all desire to find in Him the place of peace, the place of security, and the place of comfort that He provides, and only He can provide. I want to say to you this morning, God is a perfect God. If He wasn't perfect, He wouldn't be God. God is a perfect Father, a perfect friend, a perfect judge, a perfect ruler, a perfect comforter, a perfect love, and a perfect, perfect part, perfect being in himself that we as His creation can draw so much from, that we can draw so much strength from. I hope that encourages someone this morning. I hope as you're listening that we are all encouraged this morning. Let's jump straight into it. Let me read for us 1 Corinthians 3:16, which says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God, that Holy Spirit, dwells in you?" That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. What a beautiful, beautiful scripture. And I hope it can be something that we all ask ourselves literally this morning, because there's something that I'm dealing with and journeying with. What a beautiful journey I'm on with the Lord when it comes to my body, the temple that I have. And being able to actually slow down a little bit and just think on that for a second, just in my meditations with Him, understanding that, wow, this body of mine is the space in which God has said He will dwell in. The one I've just described to us this morning as the perfect judge, the perfect king, the king of all kings, the Almighty, chooses, through my admission of sin, through my repentance, through my coming to know and coming to realize that I am nothing without the King, through all of that and through what Christ has done on the cross, He chooses to make His home in me. And I got to thinking, wow, I understand this, but I don't think I've scratched the surface within it, because in God making a home in me and this being a temple that He will dwell in, do I not then understand and know that this temple must be the place that I treat with utmost respect? Must be the place that I come to with reverence as well. Not to idolize my body, no. No, no, no. But to praise and worship the one who dwells within it, and to show my respect and my love in the sense that I carry through me on this earth, in this existence, a presence that is above all, a presence that is worth sharing, a presence that is worth being able to be housed, not in a perfect specimen, not in a perfect frame of a body, not in idolatrous self-worship of trying to attain to a specific image of what the body must be like, no, but that I house within me an all-consuming, powerful spirit that is for all, because it was given freely to me and now it must be given to others as well. That in within that space, within who I am, that perfect being, being a jealous God as He is, cannot share this space with anything else or anyone else. That this perfect being that is dwelling in me, that is a temple, this temple that it dwells inside, it cannot share space with anything else or anyone else. Those of us who live in big or countries that are larger or cities that are bigger in terms of sort of geographical space, and those of us that live in places that are cities like London, where, you know, the space is quite tight and small and you have to make the most of it, we'll understand that when you have something unnecessary in your home, it takes up unnecessary space and it becomes a stumbling block. It becomes a thing that you trip over every time and becomes a nuisance to you, the one dwelling within it. Now, I'm just wanting to set the framework for us here. Imagine those things within ourselves that we've allowed to be stumbling blocks or nuisances. Imagine those things, the patient God that we know, the perfect one who is patient, how he must find all of these small nuisances, distractions, and things also a part of a nuisance within his space. Because this must be all-encompassing for him, isn't it? And within that, isn't it something that is important for you and me to hold dear to ourselves, that as we journey through this life, that there's a source of sustenance, there's a source of food that this temple must also experience and endure. And we all know, as we get to the meat of it, that in the earthly form, none of us can do anything without actually eating food, eating good food and eating healthy foods. Now, I want to bring to our attention not necessarily a lesson, but I hope something that is practical for you. I'm not a dietitian, I'm not a nutritionist, I'm nothing like that, but I'm just going to speak about food, or at least the idea of healthy food and how we need it. I'm going to speak to it as someone who is a layman. The common Joe on the street. So please go and do the research about healthy eating if you don't know of it, and don't come and take my the common understanding of it as your learning points. But I hope that they will inspire you to move on, because these are all things that we will probably know of, and there'll be things that I will mention this morning that you will all have an understanding of, because that's just how we've been raised. We all know that vegetables and fruits are good for us. We all know that there should be a kind of protein, whatever source it is, whether it's a meat source or plant-based source, it doesn't matter, but your body needs protein. We all know that healthy fats are good fats, and that there are bad fats, and we don't want those in our body. We all know that we also need to be able to have some form of carbohydrates, because they have a sense of good that they do for our body. The natural body, the man and the woman, that body cannot function without a source of food or energy. Now, there's a beautiful thing that's happening in my family, in that we are journeying together. We've got a 4-year-old daughter, a girl, and a 2-year-old boy, Nolita and Makaya, respectively. And the two of them, at these tender ages, they understand one thing very well. Chocolate and sweet, very good. Very good. We love them. They will smell it, even if mommy and daddy try to hide it and keep it for special treat occasions and anything like that. They will smell it out. They've got a gift for the sweet things. And so does mommy and daddy, actually. So we are also to blame. But what we are trying to teach them within this framework of what they understand and what they know is that these things are nice to have in a small, sort of moderated, controlled space and time, but they are not what you are able to live on, because too much of it will give you a tummy ache, it will decay your teeth, it will hurt your body, and your muscles won't grow, and your development will be stunted because you're not feeding the body the right thing. C.S. Lewis has a beautiful quote, and it goes like this. It says, "A man or woman can eat his dinner without understanding exactly how food nourishes him." Now think about that. A man can eat his dinner without exactly understanding how it nourishes him. So you and I basically can come to the dinner table, ingest the food, whether we are whether we are aware of what we're doing, or whether we are delighting in it, whether we are taking it in and enjoying it, or just doing it as something that we do. How many of us can attest to that? I know I can. That my mind is elsewhere when I'm eating my food, and I'm not really present in enjoying the food. And there's so many studies that go ahead and say, if you're able to just be present and enjoy your food and really swallow it and really like appreciate it, you will probably experience the satiated experience. You'll probably feel more full, more satisfied just by being present in those 15, 20 minutes that you're sitting down eating your meal. So many of us can be in that space where we're ingesting something, ingesting food, but not really present with whilst we're doing it. And so the quote really struck me in the sense that even with us, even with my kids, they at the moment don't understand why it's important for them to have the vegetables and their fruits and their proteins and their carbs and their healthy fats, and to make sure that all those things, those nutrients that are within their plate, what those things will represent for them in the long run, because they can't see it. All they know is the taste. And so many of us are like that, isn't it? Well, we can't see it. All we know is the taste. We just want God to give us the good taste. It's good because our Psalms tell us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that is the truth of it. But something that David also understood was that there was something very important in that journey of tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. Because David was aware of what he was tasting. He wasn't just after the sweet thing. He wasn't just after the honey. He wasn't just after those things that are what we crave. He was after the source, the one who gives life, the one who fills, the one who satisfies. And that's what he was communicating when he says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So the things that taste good aren't necessarily good for you. But the things that are good for you won't necessarily have a good taste, but those things that are good for you will have the lasting goodness, the lasting expression of life, the lasting strength, the lasting provision within your body in terms of health, in terms of longevity. They will have the last testament to you as someone who holds a healthy body and mind. And so for our kids, it's very important that we teach them how to identify with what is good and what is not. And so we found, Mel and I, my wife and I, we found that structure is important. You know, some of you might have a similar structure as this, where you have your breakfast, your snack, your lunch, your afternoon snack, and a dinner. Well, we need to have that for the kids because the kids love snacks. But the snacks within them as well, those aren't necessarily, when we hear the word snack, it's not necessarily a sweet thing, but it's something to just tie them over. And I found that there's so many correlations as to all of these things that my wife and I are trying to teach our kids, that their food and their source of food and this food they choose to eat and when they eat it and how they eat it and how it's prepared, all of those things are so similar to how we need to prepare our spiritual plates. There's the plate in the natural, which is what I've just been talking about, this whole prelude to food and what it is and those nutrients. That's the natural plate, the plate that you have at breakfast, the plate you have at lunch, and the plate you have at dinner. And those snacks that you have in between, those things we all understand and we know. But I want to ask you today, how do you prepare your spiritual plate? What does your spiritual plate look like? If your natural plate has those important things, which you know, veggies and fruits, they have those nutrients which contain those vitamins and minerals which are important to prevent diseases. And if your natural plate has proteins and your natural plate contains carbohydrates that are really good for energy and proteins that are good for building up your muscles and building up your bones and things like milk which has calcium that helps with those bones and all of these nutrients and healthy fats which help protect the cells and also helps with growing and building cells in the body. If those things you understand as the human man or woman, if those things are things that you know are important, what are the things that you know are important for your spiritual plate? Because I want to say to you guys, I want to say to you, church, we need to be able to get into the same habit. As you don't think about breakfast, you just go to the kitchen in the morning and you prepare it. We need to get into the same habit where we don't think about our first meal in the day with Jesus. Our first moment in the day, that needs to be an afterthought. Not in the sense that you don't care about it, but I just mean that it's become so much of a rote behavior and an inbred way of doing your life and doing your morning routine that you come to Jesus when you've prepared your breakfast meal with him. That in the same way, you've got your lunch all planned out. That your lunch meal with Jesus has also been prepared. That your dinner with Jesus is prepared. Now, I know, life is busy. I'm also one living life with you in this modern age. And so I understand that there isn't necessarily that time or that space to function in this way. But I want to say to you, if your meals, your breakfast, your lunch, or at least your understanding of the importance of food in your life is for your natural body, then I hope this morning we are maybe starting to think a bit more about how important it is that we address the spiritual foods with the same kind of gravity, with the same kind of respect, with the same kind of attention. We don't even think about ingesting food anymore. We just know that we need it. Many of us get hangry, a combination of hungry and angry. And most of the time, that combination of hungry and angry brings out something within us that is not, that we ourselves don't like, because we get so irritable, we get so frustrated and so snappy with the next person. And I just need this right now. And we don't understand why we need it right now, but all we know that we actually need food right now so that we can calm down, be satisfied, and be fed, and be able to relate to that person in love again. And I want to say to you, it's the same thing when it comes to our relationships, our walking through life day to day. You know, when the temperament isn't there, when the patience has run out, when we are tired and bogged down, when we are running on empty, when we as those who are part of the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ and his family, when we are not plugged into the King of Kings, when we start becoming snappy to the person next to us and want to bite off someone's head or just dismiss this and take away that moment and just actually cancel that. I don't actually want to see that person right now. All of those things. There's a similarity, people, to the natural and the spiritual. There's a similarity in our inherent behaviors, is that when we are tapped out of the spiritual food, we cannot hope to know or think that we can continue on in the love of Christ with the same grace and patience. We will be hangry spiritually. Spiritually, we will be hangry and take our frustrations out on those people. Not for any reason other than just the fact that we just need to get fed. We just need to be topped up. So I want to ask you, what does that spiritual plate of yours look like in this time? In this time of Corona, where we've all had wonderful times, you know, speaking to so many people and they're all busy doing the sourdough baking bread now, and you know these starter kits that are very important for you to have to be able to start this journey, and so I know for a fact that we are all conscious of food right now. We are all conscious of how we prepare, how we sit around the table, how we make the time with those who we love, and those of us who are our loved ones, how we are sitting around the table with them, whether it's virtually or whether it is literally in the space. You know, those bubbles that we've created through Corona, I know that we are spending time, because I know in my family, we're spending time around the table in a beautiful, unprecedented way. Not that we weren't before, but with work and everything else, and there was hardly ever any time to sit at the table with one another and just be face to face. So within this time, we're all understanding our awareness of being able to appreciate food for the natural man. I know it's awakened. I'm wanting to just say to us, let us also be awakened to the spiritual man and that desire for food. How's about we treat it in the same way, where we're trying to create breakfast, lunch, and dinner with two snacks in the day? God, how's about we do that? What's my breakfast with you gonna be like today, God? How am I planning for that? Because we all know that within our natural diets, water is important. And I know you know, Jesus says he is that living water. He is that living water. And isn't that an amazing thing to be able to just understand and know? The scriptures that I want to read to you about that, it says, John 7:38, he says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Jeremiah 17:13 says, and this is about sort of rejecting that living water. It says, "Oh Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, says the Lord, shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water." And I want to admonish you and encourage you this morning to know that as you drink natural water, Jesus is our living water. You've got to drink him in. You've got to take him in. There's got to be an active response from you in your day-to-day. There's got to be an active pursuit from you to have that glass as naturally as you will fill up a glass of water or take your water bottle and drink that eighth glass of the day, or those 2 liters that you have to drink, or 3 liters, or however much you want to. We all know the importance of water. So I want to say to you, let it be so with Christ, because he is important, and he is expressly said to be the living waters in scripture. The same with carbohydrates. We know that they bring us energy and sustenance. And you know where I'm going with this. Hear me out, folks. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Oh my goodness. Carbohydrates to the T. Christ says, "I am the bread of life." So already, Christ has fulfilled a very specific need for every human being: sustenance in water and bread. Already, Christ has given us those things. He says, I will help you within this area, because this living water will never thirst. He says, "I am the bread of life," and this is in he says, John 6:48, "I am the bread of life." John 6:51, he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." And that's a beautiful part of scripture, because he says, I will give all of myself up for the life of the world. So every human being who partakes of me, who comes to me and eats of my bread that I can provide for you, that I can give you, which is my life, you will live forever as well. In turn, you will be able to experience that satisfaction, that satiated feeling that we all long for in life. Why am I here? What am I doing? What am I, all of these dreams that I want to achieve and accomplish. Christ says, "Take of me, partake of me, eat, and you will be satisfied. You will be full. Only if you partake. Only if you eat." And who knows that carbohydrates actually help us within that frame of mind where we're able to actually continue the race. We're able to actually run the race. We need that for energy. Same with protein, fruits and vegetables. Oh my goodness, I could bring so many correlations to scripture and the person of the Trinity, that is God, Spirit, and Son, and say to you, think about the Holy Spirit as vegetables and fruit. The fruits and vegetables are such an amazing part of our health journey, because we all know that they contain vitamins and minerals that, as I said earlier, help you with fighting off disease, help you with strengthening the immune system, help you with all of the cell development, the nerve system, all of those intricate things that you cannot see. Again, similar to what C.S. Lewis says, this a man will eat his food, he will eat his dinner, but he won't necessarily understand how it nourishes him. You and I cannot understand how being in the actual habit of being, of eating of the Holy Spirit, eating in the presence of God, and being at the table with Jesus and taking him in, taking in his word, you and I will never understand how it nourishes us. Because there's a beautiful place in scripture where God says, even the deep things, I will make those things known to you. But some things we cannot know. There's a wonderful story I read, a very short story about a cowboy who went to church. And the cowboy goes to church, and when he gets to church, he looks around and he sees it's only himself and the preacher in the church. So the preacher comes up to him, and the preacher asks him, you know, should I continue on? And the cowboy says, well, I'm not very smart, but if I went to my cattle and there was only one cow there, I would feed that cow. So the preacher says, very well, and he continues on to preach. 1 hour goes by, a second hour goes by, and then another 2.5 hours go by. And when he finally finishes, the preacher comes up to the cowboy and he says, well, any takeaways? What were your thoughts? You know, well, did you like the sermon? And the cowboy responds and he says to him, well, I'm not very smart, but if I went to feed my cattle and only one of them was there, I wouldn't give them all the hay. So I just wanted to illustrate to you that even where you're at right now, you know, sometimes as children of the Most High, we come to God with such an enthusiasm that every time we come to him, we expect God to break open all of his mysteries at one time. And that's just not how it works. You know, we expect the Holy Spirit to give us all the answers at the same time. Boom, here you go. Here are all the answers. And that's just not how it works. Just as it's illustrated in the story, you see, God will show you and will give you what we need as we go along with the journey. There are things that God is doing. There are things that the Holy Spirit does. There are things that those vegetables and minerals, I mean, those vitamins and minerals do from our vegetables. There are things that those nutrients do in our bodies that we cannot understand and we cannot know. I do not know the way in which a cell breaks itself down or that food breaks down. Yes, we understand the biological sort of science behind it. And yes, there are people that understand the science behind it. But to actually take the thing and make it do that, no one can take two components of a vegetable and the digestive system or the newt or the cell and make it do what it does. It will do it itself because it knows what to do. It knows it has been created for that purpose, to break down the food that it receives, and then further on to spread it across the body so that those things can continue to build and grow, and those cells can get what they need, and this part of the body can benefit from that. So there are things within it. You and I cannot see it. I can't unzip myself and see how my body works. And that's absolutely how it's supposed to be. There are things God is doing in your life you cannot see. And there are also things that God is doing in your life that he will not reveal to you all at once. There are seasons, there are moments, there are milestones, yes. But for you to see all the things that God is wanting to do through you, it is not meant for you. Either we are not ready for it, or our appetite is just not large enough for it. And that we have to have a healthy respect for. And the only way you and I can grow a healthy appetite for anything that's got to do with spiritual things and spiritual food is if we engage with that spiritual food. It's the same way with my kids. It's the same way for you and me. When I want to get used to the taste of green leaves and peppers and vegetables that I'm not used to, the first time I have it, I might not enjoy it. But if I don't come back to it, I cannot expect to get the nutrients that are contained within that vegetable without me actually ingesting it. I need to understand that to taste and see that the Lord is good, I need to taste it and train the actual appetite, train the actual taste buds to get used to that taste. Because why? The taste buds have gotten used to a kind of food that is not meant for the body. They've gotten used to an overflow. They've gotten used to a sweetness that hits them, and they've preferred that. And for you and I to get into the habit of preparing our spiritual place before the Lord, eating that spiritual food, being able to engage in the word and take it in, you have to train it. You have to take part in the training of it. You have to take part in the actual retraining of the appetite. Because we all know that within the distractions of the world, our souls and our bodies are full. They have been filled up. This temple that we talked about earlier on this morning, it has been filled up by so many other things that are undesirable to the one who dwells and hosts and is the host in here. Undesirable. And for that to change, there has to be a partnership that you have to go into. Just as my children have to go into a partnership with me in that I am trying to guide them towards something where I know it'll be beneficial for them and they can understand it later on by rote, just by being able to just say, yes, I want this, that's green, I want that on my plate, because I know that that constitutes good nutrient, that that constitutes a good source of energy, that that is good for my body. And for you and I, we need to be able to recognize that Jesus is good for your body. Jesus is good for your life. Jesus is good for your experience. Whatever you might be going through, Christ is good in that. Christ can bring it around. Christ can bring fullness to it. Christ can make those brittle bones strong again. I also want to take this opportunity to look at worship and prayer. Worship and prayer, I mean, for me, I feel like those things are such encouragers. They just build up the spirit so much. They bring you up into this place of being able to conquer so much. That for me, worship and prayer is like the protein and the fats, because those two, they help in being able to protect the cells and even build up the cells, build up the muscles, build up whatever it is that is in your body that needs to be stronger and strengthened. And we all know that being in the presence of the Lord strengthens us. Isaiah 41:10 says it so beautifully. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, this is the Lord, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." The King of Kings himself says, "Come, if you are with me, if you make it your business, you and I preparing those plates, those spiritual plates, those moments of a snack time." Imagine that. Imagine a day where you and I are consciously thinking about, oh my goodness, I can't wait for that 5 minutes. It doesn't take long to have a snack. I want to say that to you. It does not take long for you in the natural, for you and I, to grab an apple from the fridge when it's snack time, for my kids to have a snack. It does not take long to have a snack. So let's sort of stop the lie that we need to have a long time to sit in the presence of the Lord. It does not take long to if you have a healthy appetite, it does not take long to have a snack. Now, you cannot hope to have a healthy appetite if all you are living on is a snack. That doesn't work. It's not how it works. You can, although, have a healthy appetite if your morning meal was a good substantial one and your evening meal is a good substantial one. Whichever your main meal is, if you're able to have two or three main meals in a day and you have snacks, absolutely, you can live on that. And that's the idea of this kind of lifestyle or at least thinking that I'm wanting to introduce us to, is to say, having a moment within the day where you and I think of God as, man, I can't wait to get to that 5 minutes. I'm just gonna spend time with God in that 5 minutes deliberately. I'm just gonna have that beautiful snack moment with the Lord, and it's gonna be filled with praise and maybe even some worship, and I'm gonna just maybe pray. I'm gonna pray too. And that's gonna be my snack. Oh my goodness, God, I'm gonna feast on this snack. Because I know I'm gonna get to that dinner time. And that dinner time might be before you go to bed. That dinner time might be just that moment just before dinner time with everyone at the table, that 5 p.m. moment, or maybe when you get home, just after you've gone home from work and you're able to just get yourself into that frame of mind to just be home. or that journey from work to home on the bus, or before you get to bed, and you're able to just sort of calm yourself down when everyone else has gone to sleep, and you're getting ready to go to bed. Whenever that time is for you, whenever you break it up, what's most important is that you are intentional about it. Because we're always intentional about food. And I'm asking us to be intentional about our spiritual food. So as we're wrapping up, we haven't even talked about things like, we talked a little bit about fats and carbs and vitamins and minerals and all of that. And we haven't even talked about just everything together. We haven't even just put that all together in perspective. But what I want to say to us is, and how I want to leave this morning is, it is very, very important that you and I are deliberate about what that spiritual plate looks like. In the same way that you cannot get to next week's meals, I know this very much because my wife is such an amazing, amazing planner. And I can see how much time it takes just to get us all being able to be fed in the next week so that we can all do those groceries and have those groceries in the fridge and be able to prepare the food and have the food. That cannot happen if you are not able to plan your spiritual plate. Spiritually, you cannot plan. You cannot plan to have food that you haven't bought. You cannot plan to have food that you haven't made preparations for and made room for. And so you and I need to be a bit more deliberate about our spiritual time, our spiritual devotions, our plate. And I want to encourage you, let it be a word of encouragement this morning. You can have more than one time where you are with the Lord. And that is beautiful, special. Here. Some other beautiful scriptures. Romans 8:26. Just go read those up for yourself. Luke 1:47. 2 Timothy 1:7. We all know this one. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that is the power of a beautifully balanced diet. A beautifully balanced diet within the Lord is that we will be courageous. Just as he says in Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid. You cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid if you are continually feeding on the Lord. Some of us are living on a one meal a day diet. It's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But I want to say to you, it will show in our malnourishment in terms of our spiritual strength, our spiritual maturity. And I don't mean maturity as in, oh my goodness, I know I'm so wise, I'm so mature. I just mean in our spiritual strength day to day, being able to check in with the Lord and be in his presence, continuously praying as the word admonishes us to do. Some of us are malnourished because we are living on a one meal a day diet. Don't start with five. If you're living on one meal a day, let's try for two. And do two for a couple of days, couple of weeks, until that becomes part of your lifestyle. And then do three. Or maybe do two meals a day and add a snack and enjoy that. Because God is the sustenance that you and I need and that our temples deserve. So that we are not eating and feeding ourselves the junk and wondering why we aren't able to understand why we can't move fast enough spiritually, be able to focus in spiritually. The junk is clogging up the ears. just like natural junk food cogs up the arteries in the blood, clogs up all the stuff that prevents blood and good flow in the body to be optimal. So let's dig in, church. I want to encourage you this morning. I hope this has encouraged you. I hope this can be a bit more of a devotional message for you, and that you are able to use it and run with it in your next day, in your next weeks, and the next days ahead. be blessed. And yes, think about, please think about how you are preparing your spiritual plate and what exactly is on your spiritual plate. God bless you.